In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and Father Joseph is with me today. I'm looking at John 6, verse 35. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But I said to you that you have seen me and you don't believe. All that the Father gives to me will come to me, and anyone who comes to me I will in no way reject. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Jesus tells us he's not going to reject anyone that comes to him. If you're feeling rejection today, it's not from Jesus. He says, "No one who comes to me and all who come to me will I ever reject. I will never reject you because I have come down from heaven to do the will of the Father. And this is the will of the Father who sent me, that I should lose nothing of what he has given me, but that I should raise it up on the last day. This is indeed the will of the Father, that all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Jesus promises Father Joseph that he rejects nobody. Nobody. I don't care what they've been through. I don't care what sins they've committed. Anyone who comes to Jesus and surrenders to him, he will reject no one.
Yes, Jesus never rejects us. The cross is a witness to that. He can't reject us, because he died for us. And by dying for us, he showed us how much he loves us. So the cross gives us a witness to how much he values us, how much he deeply loves us. He said, "No greater love than someone to lay down his life for his friends." So Jesus doesn't reject us. He doesn't leave us alone. He doesn't forget us. He doesn't abandon us. He rather loves us. As a matter of fact, the work of Jesus is to love us and love us and love us and love us. The cross tells us this. He loves us. And he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and that whoever believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. For God so loved you, for God so loved me, for God so loves us, that he gave us Jesus for our salvation. He is also our rock, our refuge, and all the hope that we've been looking for." And he said again, that "as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you." So Jesus loves us so much, much more than you and I know.
I'm looking at the 47th verse of chapter 6 in John. "I tell you, whoever believes in me has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness and died." Do you know what manna means? When you say the word manna, it's what is it? Your ancestors ate what is it in the wilderness and they died. This bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. "I am the living bread that come down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." So Jesus promises us eternal life if we eat his flesh, and ultimately if we drink his cup and we drink the blood of Jesus. This is the gift that the Lord gives to us. the gift of the Eucharist. Unfortunately, the Protestant people have centered on the Word of God and not the Eucharist. And unfortunately, the Catholic people have centered on the Eucharist and not the Word of God. It's sad. It's sad because it's not either or, it's both and. It's both and. You can tell that in the architecture. In a Protestant church, the pulpit is going to be very big. The altar is going to be very small. In a Catholic church, it's just the opposite. The altar is very big, and the pulpit is very small. We need to be fed from both the altar of the bread and the altar of the word. We need both. Jesus tells us that, and we need both. We need to repent as Catholics that we have not taken the Word of God seriously. We need to repent as Catholics that we have not taken the Word of God seriously.
Yes, the Word gives life. It vivifies. There's a power in the Word. In the beginning of creation, God commands. He says, and it came to be. He says, and it came to be. And the Word also became flesh in the New Testament in the form of Jesus and dwells among us. When the angel Gabriel came to Mary and told her about the modalities of the birth of Christ, and when Mary accepted the Word of God, "Be it done unto me what you said, be it done unto me, I'm the handmaid of the Lord." So the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. There's power in the Word that you and I need to listen to and read the Word of God, and allowing the Word to play a role in our lives, to live within our hearts so that we can bear fruits. Today's gospel, the Word of God, the commandments of God was summarized into two: to love God with our whole life, with our whole being, with our strength, with our power, and all that we have is to love God. Our whole life should be in loving God and also to love one another.
The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is real food, my blood is real drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, he who eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that has come down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate in the desert and died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever." He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. These words. You see, I know people say Jesus means the Word of God when he says that unless you eat my flesh, you have no life in you. Yes, he means the Word of God, but when he says drink my blood, he's talking about the Last Supper. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. And what does it say about that? Just listen to what it says about that in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, verse 23. "For I received from the Lord that which I handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim, make present the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be answerable for the body and blood of Christ." How can you be answerable for the body and blood of Christ if the body and blood of Christ is not present there. That if we eat and drink the body and blood of Christ with sin and don't recognize it, we sin against the body and blood of Christ. But let's not think about sinning against the body and blood of Christ. Let's think about how great God is, that He left us the sacrament of the cross, that He left us, that we receive the risen Lord when we receive Holy Communion. How great God is, that on the night that He was betrayed, He left us not a picture of Himself, but He left us Himself. And we as Catholics believe that Jesus Christ feeds us with His body and blood, and that His body and blood is in the tabernacle. And we can reverence the body and blood of Christ in the tabernacle of our churches.
Yes, from the Catechism of the Catholic Church, at the Last Supper, Jesus instituted the Eucharistic sacrifice of the body and blood of Christ in order to perpetuate the sacrifice of the cross throughout the ages, until He shall come again, and entrusting this sacrament to the Holy Church as a memorial of the death and the resurrection of Christ, and the sacrament of love, a sign of unity, a bond of charity. Now, when we receive the body of Christ, we are united with Jesus. We are united with Jesus, and He wants us also to go out and be charitable to others, to people we meet in the streets, people in our homes, in our world. He serves us under the cross, and He wants us to serve others. But we cannot serve others, we cannot love others, unless we truly experience His love within us, the love from the cross, that He poured His blood for you and for me. And when we experience this tremendous love of Christ, then our option is to reach out to others with the same love. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. So that we can say, as Jesus has loved me, so I will love you.
So Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And this is verse 60. Many of His disciples heard this, eat my flesh and drink my blood. They said, this teaching is too difficult. Who can accept it? But Jesus, being aware that His disciples were complaining about it, said to them, does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending where He was before? It is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but among you there are some who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the first who the ones were who would not believe, and who the ones were who would believe, and who the ones were who would betray Him. And He said, for this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by my Father. Because of this, eat my flesh and drink my blood. Many of His disciples turned back and no longer went about with Him. Jesus did not call them back. And remember, a disciple was not a person who went to Mass on a Sunday. A disciple was a person who left mother, father, sister, brother, lands, homes, and followed with Jesus and surrendered his life. So the disciples think that He's talking about eating flesh and drinking blood, and He is, under the form of bread and wine, that this is truly the flesh of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. You know, one of the things that Christians were arrested for in the first century was they were called cannibals. Why? Because they ate and drank the flesh and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we know that we're not cannibals. We know that this is under the form of bread, under the form of wine. Many of His disciples turned back and no longer went with Him. So Jesus asked the 12, Do you wish to go away too? Simon Peter answered Jesus, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. Jesus answered them, Did I choose you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil. He was speaking about Judas, son of Iscariot, for he, though one of the 12, was going to betray Jesus. So Jesus has not changed his mind about eating the flesh and drinking the blood of the Lord. He says, let them go. If they can't accept this, that's not my problem. I'm telling you, this is real. This is real. My flesh is real food. My blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life.
Yes, and Jesus says that, Father, truly, that whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. When we receive Holy Communion, Jesus lives within us. Just as we open our hearts to receive the Word of God in our hearts, Jesus lives within us. So we carry Jesus in our lives. We carry him just as Mary carried Jesus in her womb to Elizabeth and to the world. So we too, we bring forth Jesus to the world. And that's why at the end of the Mass, we are sent, go home to love and serve the Lord. Why? Because we experience Jesus. We experience his humility. We experience his love, the power in his love, the power in his victory over death, the power in his resurrection. We experience him. We also experience his humility, that he washed the feet of the disciples, and he commissions us to do the same. He commissions each one of us, go out to the whole world and proclaim the good news. Bring Jesus to people and people to Jesus. So when we receive Holy Communion, we have great responsibilities every day to bring him to others, to everyone that we meet. You make Jesus known to people. Not only what we say, but also what we do, to bring hope, to bring strength, to bring power to others, to become instruments of faith, instruments of hope, and instruments of love to others.
We are tabernacles of the Most High God. The Blessed Trinity dwells within our hearts, even before we receive Holy Communion. The Blessed Trinity dwells within our hearts, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, if we are believers and have surrendered our life to God. The Holy Trinity dwells within you. I never forget the time when I was in the seminary. One of my friends was having a hard time, and we were going up to receive the body and blood of Christ. I just tapped him on the shoulder, and I believe the love of God went through him. I was touching a tabernacle of the Most High. I too am a tabernacle of the Most High. Only those people who truly believe that this is the body and blood of Christ, as Catholics, can receive, because this is the gift of God. Remember what he said, no one who comes to me will I ever reject. No one who comes to me will I ever reject. Why? Because I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And what is the will of him who sent me? That I should lose nothing of what he has given me, but I should raise it up on the last day. Another thing about the Eucharist, it says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, not as seldom, but as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord made present until he come. Proclamation is, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Proclamation has to do with Isaiah 55, 9-11. The Word of God does exactly what it says. It's not only words. The Word of God does exactly what it says.
Yes. Jesus never rejects us. He said, the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. Are you lost today? Am I lost today? He's seeking us. He's looking for you. He's looking for me. And His love does all things. It doesn't matter how much, what sin you've committed, how big our sins are, His love can transform us. The love that He poured under the cross for you and for me can transform us, can reach us. Are we willing to open our hearts to receive Him? To receive Him every day, to know how much He loves us and how precious we are to Him. Jesus comes to us at Mass. He comes to meet us as we receive Him, receive His body and blood. We experience His life and we carry Him to others. We experience Him consciously and be aware of His great love for us. His love from the cross. No greater love than someone to lay down His life for us. You also experience His humility and His power to overcome sin and His presence in the bread and wine, the real presence. When you receive the body of Christ, we have received Him, Jesus Himself, the offer of life that we have received. And so we need to do so with love, with reverence, with adoration, with gratitude and thanksgiving for receiving Jesus in our lives.
This is the faith that has been handed down to us. I never forget when I received First Holy Communion. It was the biggest day of my life, that I was going to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, that I was going to receive the body and blood of Christ. This was amazing. I was only 7 years old, but I knew this would be the greatest day of my life, the greatest day of my life, to receive and to love the one I was receiving. I thank God for the Holy Eucharist. I thank God for the insights that He's given me. But you know what? There's so much more depth in the Eucharist than what we've been talking about. We're talking about infinity. Infinity. Depth that is infinite in the Eucharist. And we've just scratched the surface. Scratched the surface of His love. Of His love. I remember one man who was not a Christian came before a tabernacle. He didn't know what the tabernacle was. And you know what he said? There's power coming from that box. There's power. He was able to experience that box, that tabernacle, had power in it. Yes, he was able to experience the power of the Eucharist.
Father, you reminded me on my day of the First Communion, my mother cleaned my thumb for me because she knew I was going to receive Jesus. And I was so anxious to receive Jesus. She sat me down and cleaned my thumb because of what I was going to receive. The Holy Eucharist is the center and the summit of our Christian life. As the Catechism says, it's the center and the summit of our Christian life. And so by receiving Him, by being present at the Eucharistic celebration, we are being with the very presence of Christ, who speaks, who loves and cares for us.
So maybe you haven't gone to the Eucharist in many years, and you need to go to confession. Confessions at Holy Rosary are from 4:30 to 5:30. You're welcome to come. You have two priests there who both go to confession. We need to have our souls purified and washed clean by the blood of the Lamb as we go to the sacrament of penance. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Let me tell you this. Maybe you're afraid to come to Mass, but our church is open, and you can come and just make a visit and sit before the tabernacle and just let God show you how much He loves you. Many people say, I'm not ready to come back to Mass. Well, you can come when nobody's there in our little church at 1015 Shirley Street in Winthrop, and you can sit before the Lord, and He will bless you. He will bless you. He will bless you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.